Hey team, welcome to Rewriting Wellbeing, the Teacher's Health Podcast, the show that helps you thrive and not just survive, both in and out the classroom. Let's get into it. Hello and welcome back to the podcast. You are joined as always by me, your host, Charlie Burley, the Teacher's Health Coach, and I hope you are doing really well today on this very, very hot and sunny Friday afternoon. So this week has been the first week back to school for most teachers here in the UK, particularly down here in Essex. Everyone's gone back Monday, Tuesday for their inset days for the most part, and the children came back on Wednesday. So we've done now the first few days of the academic year, and I know that so many people already are feeling massively overwhelmed, massively stressed, and particularly overloaded with information or tasks to do from their inset days. And this really got me thinking through sort of conversations with clients and conversations online about the mindset shifts that we can make to help us better manage our mental health this academic year. Because we need to draw a line somewhere, and if we want a different year to the one we had last year, if we want something to change, something has to change, right? I know that sounds very trite, but it's true. If we want the outcome to change, we need to change the input. I always share with clients, I love the phrase, you are not a tree. If you do not like where you are, you can change it. So I want to share a few different perspectives, some practical things and some more mindset perspective shifts that you can put in place this academic year to change your health and your well-being, and most of all, to manage how you're viewing that workload and that pressure that teaching can bring. So the first one then, number one, is going to be to practice the 1%. Now, as teachers, there is so much to do and so high of a standard for pretty much everything that's expected of us. If we try and be perfect with everything, it's just not going to happen and we are going to burn ourselves out. So forget about doing everything at once. Forget about being perfect. Don't let great be the enemy of good this academic year. If you can focus on progress and not perfection, you're going to find that you feel a lot more in control. You're going to find that you feel a lot more motivated at times because you are constantly looking at, okay, right, what's the next thing? You know, where can I improve? Not was that last thing perfect? We're never going to get perfect. Life is all about iteration, trying again, seeing some mistakes and learning from those lessons. If you can be, let's say, 1% better each week, you would have improved by over 50% in a year, right? Practice the 1%. If it is a goal you're working towards, don't focus on being a 10 out of 10. Simply focus on practicing, getting 1% better each day or each week, and it will take a heck of a lot of pressure off your shoulders. Number two then is going to be to use a spectrum. Now in the team, we talk about spectrum thinking all the time. A lot of that comes down to relationships with food, and we talk about how there is no such thing as a good food or a bad food, and how actually from a physical perspective, there is lower nutrient food and higher nutrient food, right? And we could even call it less optimal foods for our physical health and more optimal foods. But the point is, it all falls upon a spectrum. There is no such thing as a good food or a bad food. And actually, without sort of, you know, sounding a bit wishy-washy, when you think about life, there is actually very little that's completely good or bad. When you really sit down and think about it, it's often in your perspective and how you choose to see things. It's the whole example of the 6 and the 9, isn't it? One person standing on the playground, looking at the number written in chalk on the floor, shouting, that is a 6, what are you on about? And the other person thinking, actually, what are you talking about? I'm looking at a 9. They're just looking at the same number from a completely different angle. And that's the same thing with life, right? Life falls upon a spectrum. This might go for lessons that you teach. It might go for your diet. Maybe it's your life-work balance. Everything is going to exist on a spectrum of less optimal to more optimal. And when we have a day where things don't go right, instead of writing that day off, because let's be honest, with us as teachers, the day can go completely, you know, off piste by 8:30, right, before the day's even begun, really. When we have those days, we can either choose to see it as a, right, well, you know, the day's gone to pot, it's a really bad day, and then it becomes a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy. We already know that we've got that inbuilt negativity bias, which is constantly driving our attention and our focus towards the negatives, and then that confirmation bias, which is constantly showing us the evidence that, yeah, you know what, things are negative. We know we're already fighting against that. We can leave it as it is and say, right, I'm not going to choose to view today as a terrible day. I'm going to view it on a spectrum. Okay, cool. It started a little bit less optimally. I've had a couple of bumps, but it is now within my power and within my circle of control to start to change my perspective to say, right, well, what could I do to improve this day? You know, what am I looking forward to? What am I feeling grateful for? Okay, or at least I'm not on break duty today. I can go and have 10 minutes. You know, yes, I was going to do my marking, but actually I'm going to go and have a coffee for 10 minutes. I'm going to have a chat with someone, maybe a bit of a vent and a bit of a rant. Okay, I'm going to do that. And we can take these little steps to kind of push our day towards more optimal than less optimal. So don't write a day off. Use a spectrum. That's really, really powerful when we're thinking about our well-being. The third one then, a little bit like number one really, but number three is to fail forward. Now, even as teachers and those that work in schools, we, you know, people who are constantly promoting growth mindsets literally on a daily basis, we often forget what a growth mindset is, right? And we get, again, bogged down. We have that, as I say, negativity bias that focuses our attention on the negatives. We view failure as the end of the road when actually it's simply a bend in the road. If we can use failure as feedback, if we can spot that there is a lesson to be learned from this situation, we can use it to develop and grow. And we can actually get a bit of, on a chemical level in our brains, we can get a bit of a dopamine kick from that, right? We can view, okay, cool, that didn't go to plan. What can I take from it? What can I learn? Now, this might not be possible in the moment. You might feel very overwhelmed. We call this sitting in the pit. And sometimes when you fall in a pit, think about a literal pit, right? You fall in a pit, you don't bounce off the floor and go straight back up and climb out the pit straight away. If you were to fall in a pit, you'd probably sit there for a bit, right? And you try to, let's say you've been winded, right? You try to kind of catch your breath and make sure your ankle's okay. You'd gather yourself before even attempting to climb out of the pit. The same thing is true when we hit a bit of a stumbling block in teaching. It might be a lesson, and trust me, I've had plenty of lessons. One particular division lesson with year four comes to mind, lessons that didn't go well. But you know, we all have lessons that don't go well. We might choose the wrong language or communicate something in maybe not the best way to a parent, or maybe we might deliver some feedback in a way that makes somebody feel not how we wanted them to feel. You know, there's so many ways that we can quote unquote fail as a teacher, right? So many different pitfalls. Treat it the same as if you fall in a pit. Give yourself time, gather yourself. And again, this could be a conflict with a colleague. It could be slipping boundaries that you wanted to keep. It could be returning to old habits. Give yourself time to sit in the pit, feel those emotions. It's not toxic positivity. It's not, oh, you know, just get over it. Just get over it. Just get on with it. Give yourself time. When you're ready, choose to climb out of the pit and fail forward. In the team, we use a three-step process. So we talk about when we come across any kind of challenge in life, whatever it might be, we talk about number one, facing the facts. So what has actually happened as objectively as possible, not with emotion infused into the situation, but as objectively as possible, what has actually happened? And instantly that's going to help you to reframe it and think, actually, you know what, that problem wasn't quite as bad as it felt in the moment. But what's actually happened? So we face the facts, we learn the lesson. So what can I take from this to get better? And again, this might take a few days to get to. And the third one then is focusing on the future. So there's nothing we can do, you know, trying to change the past or worrying about the past is literally our greatest waste of energy, mentally and physically, and time, which is a completely finite resource, right? So we use those three steps. We face the facts, we learn the lesson, we focus on the future, and then we climb out of the pit when we are ready. Remember, you've only truly failed when you completely give up. Number four then, in mindset shifts to help you manage your mental health this academic year, don't compare yourself. Now, there's that famous quote, I think it's Theodore Roosevelt, comparison is the thief of joy. And it is completely true, right? Very, very rarely does comparing ourselves to anyone else come with any good, right? Whether that's online, whether that's at school, whether that's with our siblings or our cousins or, you know, our sister-in-law, you know, no matter who it is, comparing yourself is probably going to put you in a worse mood and it's probably going to negatively impact your mental health. You're never going to be that person, so stop comparing yourself to them. Just work on doing your best and you get to set those rules, as we're going to look at in a second. Just work on doing your best, being the best you for you. Now, in teaching, this is really difficult because we are constantly bombarded with these, you know, with this over observation, over criticism, over analyzing of every single thing we do, right? Our data, our lesson plans, drop-ins, our displays, all of these things, we're constantly being, what feels like we're constantly being observed and criticized and compared. But the best schools out there for well-being don't have competition as a way to drive performance. The best schools out there have collaboration and communication. They don't compare staff, they help staff help each other. So this year, remember, don't compare yourself. You're on your own journey, in your own career. Somebody, you know, that class teacher who's opposite you or whatever, they might have the most beautiful displays and the best resources and the class line up perfectly and this, that and the other. They might seem like a real Miss Honey, right? They might seem perfect. You have no idea what that person's going through. That person might be, first of all, which is true for me and it's true for, you know, you might be able to relate to this, they might be going through a patch of, you know, bordering on burnout where their job has become their whole life, and actually they work over the weekends and they work in the evenings, and they might be really struggling with that. But on the surface it looks like it's the duck analogy, isn't it? On the surface they're all calm and tranquil and chilled, and underneath the surface they're paddling, you know, really, really paddling. So you don't know what that person's going through. You know, another thing that I've experienced, that person might be putting so much into school because their home life is really struggling and they're distracting themselves, because let's be honest, teaching is a bottomless pit and it will give all the time and the focus that you can possibly afford it. So they might be directing their time and their energy and focus into school because right now things at home are really, really tough. And more often than not, when you go behind the scenes and you get the full picture, the whole 360 view of someone's life, more often than not, you would rather stay in your life and be you than actually be the person you're comparing yourself to. So remember that. You don't know what someone's going through. Don't compare yourself. Number five then, set your own expectations. Now, I know that this is a bit of a tricky one because in schools, it feels like, well, there are expectations put upon us. There are expectations put upon us that then trickle down to the children. And there are expectations put upon our leaders and our head teachers and everyone else. Like, we all have expectations put on our shoulders. But on a day-to-day basis, forgetting, you know, the data targets and this, that and the other, remember that you set your own expectations of what you are doing that day. You're good enough is good enough. You get to set the standards of what you expect from yourself. And some days you'll go into school and you will be feeling incredible, right? You know, one of those days, it's just like you're in the flow, you just feel incredible. And you might have, genuinely, you might have 90% to give, and you might be almost at 100%, full battery, feeling good, feeling great. You've got a grip on everything. The kids' lunchboxes are made the night before. Your breakfast is made. You know, the ironing's done. The hoovering's being done. The marking's on, you're on top of the marking. You've even got your planning done for the next week, and it's only Tuesday. I don't know, whatever. You've had those days where you're sort of buzzing, right? You're on 90%. Other days, your maximum might be 40% of your capacity. And that is going to happen. It's like a roller coaster. There are days where you can push, and there are days where you really, really need to pull back. There are days where you can be proactive, and there are days where simply you need to accept and be reactive with what's going on. And that is okay. You are not a robot. Give yourself the kindness and compassion. One of the biggest barriers that I see in teachers, and again, it was true for me, all of this is true for me at points in my career, we are not kind and compassionate to ourselves. We do not treat ourselves how we would treat a loved one or one of the children in our class. We treat ourselves how we would treat our worst enemy a lot of the times, and our internal dialogue and self-talk can also follow that. So set your own expectations. You're good enough is good enough. Almost at the end then, so the penultimate one here, number six, is going to be to find acceptance. And again, this is a difficult one. Our in-house mindset coach, Johnny Lawrence, he has a really good session on acceptance where he talks about the fact that acceptance isn't a doing word. It is something that you can just do. Acceptance doesn't mean that you are happy about a situation. It doesn't mean that you agree with a situation, but you just find peace in the fact that, okay, that thing exists or that thing has happened. I now need to move on and I need to focus my energy elsewhere, because our energy, our time, our effort is a spotlight, right? We can only illuminate certain parts of our lives at once, which is, again, another struggle a lot of teachers have. When the spotlight is so fixed on teaching, our physical and mental health then suffers as a bit of a consequence. But find acceptance in the fact that teaching is a team sport in an infinite game. Now, Simon Sinek, one of my favorite speakers and authors, talks a lot about infinite games, and you might have heard me speak about it before, but an infinite game is essentially a game with no end, where the purpose is simply to do a good job, you're the best that you can do, and that you are happy with, and to continue to stay in the game and to keep the game going. Conversely, a finite game, something like football or rugby, you know, it has a set number of players. There is an end point. You score points. There is a winner and there is a loser. With an infinite game, there is no such thing as winning or losing. You can't win teaching, right? But it is a team sport. And new players can come and go all of the time. But we need to work together. Remember, we're a tribal species. Teaching is a team sport in an infinite game. There is no end point in teaching. It's important to accept that this is true. You need to get comfortable with not finishing everything perfectly. Otherwise, you're going to end up with this self-imposed stress that is going to cause you to burn out, and it's going to cause you to burn out very, very quickly. Do the best work that you can. Set your own expectations. Accept that you won't get everything done. And accept that, yes, this year might have an end point and you may say goodbye to this class or this cohort, but there will be another set. And it's up to you if you want to stay in teaching. It is up to you to protect yourself and find acceptance that there is technically no end point to teaching. You cannot win teaching. Finally then, number seven, and it's one that is going to get, again, sound maybe a little bit of a cliche, potentially, maybe a bit trite, but I want you to build boundaries. And you've heard that a million times, and I don't want you to switch off now and think, oh yeah, all right, build boundaries, great, brilliant. But if we're being completely realistic with each other, this is not easy. It's really uncomfortable, again, partly because we are a tribal species, which we'll talk about in a second. It's really uncomfortable to reinforce a boundary, particularly when someone is pushing back. Now, as a tribal species, we want to be accepted. We want to be part of the tribe. The worst thing we can feel is lonely, isolated, or excluded, which unfortunately is sometimes how quite a few of us can feel in teaching. Now, we need to accept that we have two choices. Really, really bluntly, we have two choices. Number one, we can be the yes person. We can take on more than we can handle. We can always be going for perfection. We can basically be doing the opposite of everything we've talked about today. And we know where that's going to lead us. Don't even need to say it. Conversely, we can have the other thing. We can have the discomfort of saying no, the discomfort of reinforcing a boundary, the discomfort of standing true to ourselves and having that level of self-worth and self-respect, of saying no, of not opening emails, of removing them off your phone, of exiting the group WhatsApp or at least muting it, of, you know, calling someone out when they're pushing other people's boundaries. We can have that discomfort, and then we can get the comfort of actually a much healthier mental and physical self. So in either case, there is a price and a prize to pay. You either pay the price of burning out, of poor mental health, of stress, of anxiety, of poor fitness, of feeling uncomfortable in your own clothes, of a difficult relationship with food. That's the price you pay. But the prize is that you don't need to have an uncomfortable conversation with anyone. Or you can pay the price of having an uncomfortable conversation, of building your own boundaries, and you get the prize of all of those mental and physical benefits that will bring with it. And it's important to say here that it doesn't make you a bad teacher to have boundaries. In fact, I would argue that most of the time it makes you a much, much better teacher. There is nothing more important than your children in your class or in your school to have a rested, relaxed, rejuvenated teacher. You are the most important resource in your room. That's it, hands down. You know, it is so much more important for them to have the best version of you coming in on a Monday morning than, you know, endless resources or, you know, perfect presentations. That stuff isn't that impactful. It's nice and it's easy for us to do. And actually, I tell you what, because of dopamine, that reward chemical, it feels pretty damn good, right? To get everything perfect and everything looking great. That feels good. We're built for that. But actually, that's not going to benefit the children, and therefore it's not going to benefit you, and it's not going to benefit the children. Now, when someone pushes a boundary, we need to accept, okay, of course, that is going to happen. That's life. But every time you can see the boundary, and sometimes I like the word guideline instead of a boundary, it's a bit more flexible. Every time you concede more ground, your guidelines are reset. And when they're reset, they're set on somebody else's terms. Now, what you're going to find is that when you start to set boundaries this year, the people who you pee off are going to be the people who are benefiting from you not having any boundaries. People take advantage. It's human nature. People will treat you how you show them you want to be treated. And in setting those boundaries, particularly if you're someone who's been a yes person like I was for so many years, if you're someone who hasn't had those boundaries and hasn't got the practice of saying no, of course it's going to feel uncomfortable, right? When the children come in, you don't expect them to know anything. When, you know, I don't know, I'm going to show my show how long I've been out of the classroom here for now. But let's say when the, I don't know if they're still doing it, but when the year four children come in, you know, end of the year, they might have, I know it's sort of on and off, but they might have the times table check. Or maybe your school does the timetable check if the government one's not still going. You don't expect the children to come in and to know their 12 times tables all the way up to 12 perfectly. In fact, there is a threshold of what they're expected to know. You probably go under that. So you don't expect the children to know skills and knowledge before you have taught it to them. You don't expect them to, but you expect yourself to be able to set boundaries and to be comfortable. Again, it's the whole growth mindset. We need to know that we need practice with this. We need to build confidence in ourselves with all these things, but particularly with setting those boundaries. So every time your guidelines are reset, they're set on someone else's terms. If you're going to accept that, just make sure that you're happy with that. Really important. Anyway, I really hope this episode has been helpful. Just a few mindset shifts that I have had over the course of my teaching career, particularly in the last three-ish years of my teaching career, and things that I help teachers with every single day, whether it's our group coaching clients, whether it's our one-to-one clients, whether it's when I go into schools and I work with groups of teachers and school staff. These are some of the mindset shifts that we talk about an awful, awful lot, and they are unbelievably powerful. I don't think it's a great idea to go and try and implement all seven of these all at once. Pick the one today that has resonated most with you. Tomorrow, when you go into school or after the weekend, if you're listening to this on a Friday, go in, put a few things in place, practice it, plan for it, see how it goes. Again, practice that 1%, see how it goes, and then try again the next day. Anyway, thank you very much for joining me. I hope this has been useful, and I'll catch you in the next one.